Welcome to the Hannah Miller Show. And here she is, Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly conservative and unashamedly Christian, this is Hannah Miller, and this is what happened this week. So this week, we're going to actually have another interview, and I'm going to share in a few minutes why we're having this interview, but please join me as I welcome John McManus, author of William F. Buckley Jr., Pied Piper for the Establishment. John, thanks so much for being on the show this week.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm really excited about having this conversation. And before we get into this discussion, though, let me bring my listeners up to speed a bit on why I decided to have this interview. So last week, Tucker Carlson did an interview with a guy named Dave Smith on Smith's podcast titled Part of the Problem. During that interview, Bill Buckley's name came up. Dave Smith made the comment, and I'm directly quoting him, that he, quote, views Bill Buckley as one of the great villains of the 20th century, end quote. And to which Carlson actually burst into laughter, saying, I couldn't agree more. And that's a direct quote from him. Of course, this riled up a few commentators. A lot of people who are young people who might be my age or younger or rounds about there, They have no idea who this guy is, this name, but Ben Shapiro actually took great offense at this characterization made by Carlson and Smith. That, you know, probably if they had made that comment and Shapiro had left it, it probably wouldn't have brought a whole lot of attention to it, but Shapiro responded to it, and I think it's kind of, like I said, for probably a fair amount of my listeners, they may have no idea who William F. Buckley Jr. is, who this Bill Buckley is that Carlson and Davis Dave Smith and Ben Shapiro discussed and who they're talking about. And so I wanted to bring in somebody who I knew was essentially an expert on Bill Buckley, and so that we could talk about it, and that's you, John McManus. So for the purpose of helping my listeners to understand who this guy is, how he has influenced the American conservative movement, and why Smith and Carlson would refer to what most people would consider as a political comrade as, in their words, a great villain. So, Mr. McManus, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing with us your knowledge on this topic. So we can just kind of dive right in, and starting right off, can you tell our listeners who William F. Buckley Jr. is and why they should know about him?
William Buckley was the founder and chief editor of a magazine called National Review. He started it in the middle 1950s. But you got to go back a little bit earlier to find a little bit of what Mr. Buckley stood for. He was a graduate of Yale University. He was a member of the Skull and Bone Society at Yale. And that in itself is indicative of what was going on here. The Skull and Bone Society, you had to pledge your allegiance to the group, and you had to follow their lead, their demands, your initiation into the movement at Yale required all kinds of sexual activity and stripping naked in front of your colleagues and all that kind of junk and so forth. So Buckley did that, and then he went right from Yale into the CIA. Now, a lot of Americans have no appreciation of the fact that the CIA is not really on the side of good Americans. It's a very powerful organization that needs to be exposed, and it needs to be done away with. And there have been members of Congress who have recently started to call for that. So that's good. Now, Buckley immediately went into the CIA from Yale and the Skull and Bone Society that he was part of. And he took a job with the CIA in Mexico. And while he was in Mexico, or was it shortly after? I'm not sure, but I don't remember. I wrote the book 20-something years ago. So he wrote an article for Commonweal, a Catholic weekly magazine. And Buckley claimed to be Catholic, of course. And he said in the article, we have got to accept big government for the duration. And if they deem Soviet power a menace to our freedom, as I happen to, They will have to support large armies and air forces, atomic energy, central intelligence, war production boards, and the attendant centralization of power in Washington, even with Truman at the reins of all of it. That kind of set the stage for Buckley announcing to people that he was a big government fan. And then in 1956, he started the magazine National Review. And the purpose of the magazine, in my view, was to get Americans who are of a conservative leaning to start thinking differently, start thinking that some of the conservative points of view are no validity, and that you should start thinking about things in a different way. So after he started the magazine, he started praising socialists, Norman Thomas, Richard Nixon, who boasted that he had become a Keynesian. A Keynesian in economics is a socialist. He stood for wage and price controls. He stood for the United Nations. He actually took a position with the United Nations and served on one of their boards for a year. He's in favor of a constitutional convention. He promoted homosexuality and abortion and pornography. He wanted compulsory schooling with the government being in charge. He wanted billions for the USSR and another billions for the International Monetary Fund. He attacked the Second Amendment, and on you go. Right? Big, big fan of foreign aid and so forth. And this was delivered in a very suave way to conservatives. In other words, it was purposely designed to take a conservative-thinking American and convert him without his knowledge into being a neocon, a neoconservative, a new conservative, a different kind of conservative. Well, my own position on the subject is that in the early 1960s, I was working as an electronics engineer, and one of my colleagues heard me say something that I now consider was kind of stupid. And he gently told me, he said, "No, you're wrong about that." He said, "You ought to know better." And I said, "Well, if I ought to know better, tell me what I ought to know." So he said, "Well, let me ask you, do you subscribe to any magazines?" I said, "Yes, I do." But I had never heard of National Review magazine, which was the magazine that Buckley started. So he recommended that I start reading that and so forth. Well, I fell in love with the National Review magazine. They did make some good points, and they made them in a good way. They had good writers, in other words. And at the time, the John Birch Society had been formed in late 1958, and it had become newsworthy. And in fact, the news media tried to destroy the John Birch Society, and Bill Buckley went along with that. He disparaged the founder of it, a man named Robert Walsh. He started criticizing the Birch Society for taking a position on this and on that and on something else. And I was sucked in by that. I found myself agreeing with all of what I was reading in National Review. So I wrote a letter to them and thanked them and congratulated them. They published my letter in the magazine. Hmm. And because they did, somebody who was in the Birch Society who knew about National Review magazine saw it. They gave my name and my hometown. He found me on the telephone very easily and asked me if I had ever read anything that the John Birch Society had ever published. And I said, "No, I haven't." He said, "Well, don't you think you should before you go ahead and say that that's a wonderful organization and Bill Buckley is correct?" And I said, "Yeah, that makes sense." So he invited me to go to a meeting of the Birch Society. Well, I went, and my intention was to find out about the society so I could help to put it down, as William Buckley was doing. And they had a program. They had a speaker about a half an hour and so on. It was nice. Didn't learn much from it, but they were selling books. They had a carton of books called A Dozen Candles, reprinted books from the past that had been smothered, and you couldn't find them anywhere. So with a friend who was with me, we split the cost of buying a box of books called A Dozen Candles, and I went home and I started reading the books. I read While You Slept by John T. Flynn. I read a book by a man who was the expediter of materials going to the Soviet Union over the Polar Route. George Racy Jordan was his name. And he wrote a book called Major Jordan's Diaries, showing how the plans and the technique for building an atomic bomb were going to Russia in diplomatic mail, so-called, and helping Russia to be able to build and scare the world with atomic weaponry. So I said to myself, something's wrong here. Buckley said, the Birch Society's no good. The Birch Society's trying to alert Americans to important information that they need. So eventually, I read a lot more stuff from the Birch Society, and I actually joined the Birch Society, and then I began to watch Bill Buckley as he tried to destroy the John Birch Society. My conclusion after all these years, and we're talking about six decades here now, is that William Buckley's the greatest enemy that the John Birch Society ever had. He kept millions of good-thinking Americans from wanting to get involved in an organization trying to counter the communist conspiracy that was a threat to our country, and it still is. So that's how I got involved. And eventually, some of my colleagues said, you got to write a book. You got to write a book about Buckley. So I did. I wrote a book about Buckley called Pied Piper for the Establishment. And I don't know if it's still available even. I'm now a semi-retired member of the staff of the Birch Society. But I joined the society in 64. I gave up my profession as an electronics engineer in 66 and took a staff position with the John Birch Society. And I never regretted doing that. And after many years, up to 1995, I was named the actual president of the John Birch Society. I'm now what you would call president emeritus.
Okay, so you've kind of laid out for us, though, you know, this history that Bill Buckley had. And, you know, you're listing all of these things that he supported, the big government, that he had so many socialist tendencies. He, you know, was with the United Nations, and he called for a constitutional convention. And he had, you know, he supported abortion and homosexual marriage and all of these things that a lot of conservatives, those of us who love America, that we would say we don't support those things. But he apparently deceived an entire generation of Americans into believing that he was on their side. Is that not correct?
Well, not only that he was on their side, but that he was the leader of the conservative movement.
Right.
He challenged Robert Welch, the man who founded the John Birch Society. He challenged him openly to supplant him as the leader of the conservative movement, conservative anti-communist movement. And he did a lot of harm in that regard, because he was a very clever guy. He would mix his disparagement of the Birch Society with humor. And then he would get liberals to tell him, while he was interviewing them, how wonderful he was and how he brought good sense to the American people instead of the crackpot notions of organizations like the John Birch Society and so on. Mm-hmm. Now, the John Birch Society has taken a lot of stands over the years. There's no doubt about that. But we never backed away from any of them. Our stands, we still take the same stands. We're anti-communist. We're anti-big government. We're anti-United Nations. We're anti- some of the moral issues. We're anti-abortion, we're anti same-sex marriage, and so on and so on. So Buckley's not around anymore to do his nasty business about the Birch Society, but he's deceased. I would guess about 3 or 4 or 5 years now, somewhat, anyhow. But the Birch Society lives on, and I'm happy to do a radio show with you and with anybody else. I do them all the time.
Right. And it seems like, you know, Tucker Carlson's a pretty big name. And so for him to come out in a podcast and say he's one of the greatest villains of the 20th century, and that was a bit like dropping a bomb on a lot of conservatives.
He had a change of attitude himself.
Yes.
I think he made that case when he was talking on that subject, that he thought that Buckley was great and everything was wonderful about Buckley. And then he changed on his, but he didn't say why he changed. So,
well, and I think that's a lot of us.
I changed because I read the books.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, when I used to do radio, I just do a podcast now, but I used to do radio. And when I did radio, National Review was one of the places that I went every morning to find news articles. It was an everyday radio show, and you know, they had good writers there, and so there was some, but eventually, and primarily, and I think I'm like a lot of conservatives and Americans, COVID-19, 2020, really pulled the curtain back on some of these folks who we thought were on our side, but they're really not.
That's right.
And it really was across the board. It folks in medicine, in politics, in news, in journalism, in the church, even, you know, we began to realize there are some people who we've always thought were on our side. But when it really comes down to it, when the rubber meets the road, they don't see things the way that I see them. They don't apply them the way that I do. And it sounds like Bill Buckley was one of those kinds of people who he convinced the entire generation that he was on their side. He was a very compelling and winsome man.
You know, William Buckley eventually found out that his mother and his sister had joined the John Birch Society.
Wow.
He obviously got upset about that. And they had moved to South Carolina, by the way. That's where you are.
Oh, yes. Yes, that is.
Yeah. And well, so he very quickly told them that they should not be in the Birch Society and so forth. So we lost two members that way, but we lost other members for the same reason. Buckley said, get out of the Birch Society. And some people followed Buckley and not us. Mm-hmm. Let me mention that one of the early writers of the National Review magazine was a man named Joseph Sobran, S-O-B-R-A-N. Mm-hmm. And Joe Sobran was a delightful writer, a good writer, a good researcher, and so on. Well, I got to know Joe Sobran shortly before he died, and he died about, oh, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, or something like that. We became good friends, put it that way. So I got a copy of my book when it came out in 2002. I got a copy of the book to Joe Sobran, and then I went and visited him, and he was in a nursing home, and he was dying from diabetes, but anyhow, he did pass away. But when I walked in on Joe in his room at the facility where he was living, he was very glad to see me, and then he said, I loved your book, and he picked up the copy of the book that he had right there with my book, Pied Piper for the Establishment. And I noticed that there were at least 50 post-it notes sticking out of the pages of the book.
So he really did read it.
So he really did it. That's what I said to him. I said, so you've really read it? He said, Jack, he says, I read it twice, and I'll probably read it again. He said, I wish I'd had all this information before now. Well, William Buckley had finally gotten wise to Joe Sobran, that he was an honest man. And he would always tell the truth and what he was thinking about things. So Buckley had written a little book himself, and he suggested that Joe Sobran was a closet anti-Semite. Mm. And he said the same thing about Pat Buchanan. Well, Sobran was fired, and Pat Buchanan decided to retire. That's how powerful Buckley was.
Yeah.
And you get the name of an anti-Semite, and that's one good way of destroying somebody's reputation. He tried that on us many, many times, but we always countered by saying we have a whole bunch of good Americans who are of Jewish background and don't shrink from it. and they don't see any anti-Semitism in the Birch Society. So tell us where we were anti-Semites, Mr. Buckley, you faker. And he never did. He couldn't, because they were not. Mm-hmm. So then the question sometimes came to me, well, how many Jewish members do you have? I said, I don't know. You don't know. We don't ask that on an application for membership. Mm-hmm. But people who are Jewish members of the Birch Society usually make it known that if they ever get, if there's ever a need for them to come forward and say, look, I'm Jewish. I've read all the John Birch Society material. There is no anti-Semitism in it, and so on. Stop saying that. Well, Buckley would simply imply it then. He didn't say it. He just imply it. And he did harm to Patrick Cannon. He did harm to Joe Sobrand. But Joe Sobrand was turned out to be a tremendously good friend of mine, and I miss him.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible, in speaking about Christianity, says that you will know them by their fruit. And, you know, I think that that principle is, you just have to apply that principle over the John Birch Society. You will know them by their fruit. And that's what you were just talking about. You have no anti-Semite fruit. There is no fruit of that that falls into that category. And then you look at Bill Buckley, and what has his fruit been? And it's very obvious that his fruit is not good. And his fruit has not been profitable to America, and especially specifically the conservative movement. And that's why Tucker Carlson and Dave Smith said what they said, is because his fruit has been bad. And we have to, as Americans now, you know, we live in a, and this is the whole point, and we can wrap up with this, of this podcast today, is you will know them by their fruit, and why it is imperative for us to do our research on the people that we listen to. Because if people had done their research on Bill Buckley and not just listened to what he said and looked at the fruit of the things that he did and looked at his history, they would have been aware that this guy doesn't actually align with what I believe.
Well, that's right. He was the Pied Piper leading people off the cliff, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so that's the truth that I want to leave with my listeners regarding the life of Bill Buckley and what he was all about, why Dave Smith and Tucker Carlson said what they said, and you know, and why we would have this whole podcast is to show them, you know your politicians, know those who you listen to by their fruit, and see not just by what they say, but what they do.
Well, my book, Bill Buckley, Pied Piper for the Establishment, it's been available for 20 years now, and there's never been any person that I can think of all these years that has pointed out an error that I made, or a misquote that I did, or something like that. All the comments that I got about the book from members of the Birch Society and from others who were not yet members and probably became members, were all very positive. Mm-hmm. So I hope that people can still get a copy of the book. I think it's available through Amazon, but you might try the Birch Society in Appleton, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, or go to the internet, jbs.org, and find out about whether the book is still available. If you want to buy a copy, I don't have any for sale myself. It's a book of the past now, but it's still important because, as you pointed out, the name of Buckley and so forth still comes up.
Yeah,
it came up with Tucker Carlson and this fellow David Smith,
mm-hmm.
and it comes up with others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Buckley was servant of the conspiracy for all of his doing, all of his years, which is why he filled his magazine with writers who were socialists or would-be socialists and so forth. And they had a lot of people there that were people who we'd never asked to write for the New American Magazine, which is the John Birch Society's publication.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's telling as well about Ben Shapiro, not to throw him under the bus, but so to speak, for this podcast. But, you know, I think it's telling about him that he would defend this guy. And you want to ask yourself, okay, well, what does that mean about some of what Ben Shapiro believes? Because he's one of the most listened to voices out there about America and conservatism. And yes. So it's a, you know, that's a huge red flag. It should be to folks who listen to him that they really need to be listening with a giant jar of salt right next to them. So, but anyway, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast this week. I appreciate you taking your time, the time out of your day to do this, and all the way from, you're in Maine, correct?
No, I'm in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Okay. I knew it was an M. And up north where it's cold. So
it's cold up here. Yeah. We had a little snow in the car this morning.
Oh, it's pretty balmy down here. So a little snow is okay with me, but I don't know how you guys do it up there. But anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show this week. Again, this has been John McManus talking about his book, William F. Buckley Jr., Pied Piper for the Establishment. And John, thanks so much for coming on, and I hope all my listeners have a wonderful Christmas season.
Same to you. Merry Christmas, and God be with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Hannah Miller Show. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Productions. If you'd like to find out more about Hannah or to schedule her for a speaking event, go to her website, thehannahmillershow.com.